You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey. Well, if I could say it, I would go Padres, but there's not really much to go, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, we're also joined by Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh, man. Go whatever Korean baseball team everyone stopped watching immediately.
Yeah, so we're deep in the pandemic. Are you guys up on the Korean Baseball League? Remember the week where everybody thought that they were going to be into that and then
nobody is.
I'm into the cute little GIFs that float around, but I have no idea what the teams are or anything like that.
It's does anyone know
totally
anyone
in abstract?
Is anybody watching it? Does anyone know anyone who's watching it?
I mean, there's a few, like Jesse Agler's watching it. There's a few people that are like, you know, it seems like the real stat nerds are kind of gravitating towards it because it is such a weird thing to watch. But yeah, I haven't watched any of it. So,
like, I saw one little GIF where someone hit a home run and they're like, "Hey, NASA, find that one," you know, during the SpaceX launch, being real creative. But that's to the extent of my Korean baseball.
How are you guys engaging with sports? Like, are you watching old sports games? I'm watching a lot of old games. That's kind of my move. Just I've been watching a lot of old NBA finals, a lot of old baseball games. Have you been
I'm playing video games, Nick. That is the extent of my sports. It would be esports, to be honest. Like, I'm not watching any sports at all. In fact, I haven't even finished The Last Dance yet, which I kind of feel guilty about. But I'm just not, yeah. I don't have that much emotional bandwidth right now to watch that. I just cry the whole time.
Right. Well, do you guys want to start with some, just some general Padres sadness? We could do that first, I think. You know, we are, every day we're losing games from Fernando Tatis's 21-year-old season. We're losing games from Manny Machado's 27-year-old season.
Yeah.
We're not getting these games back, guys. So,
well, that's
we're losing games of Eric Hosmer's third season. So that's a win.
There's the silver lining. But yeah, I think that's what I've been thinking about most is like we're just not seeing these games will never exist. Like all these plays of Fernando's brilliance, they're not going to exist. We're not going to get them back. They just won't happen. And there is something that's like kind of sad about that in a weird way. Like it just, these won't ever exist.
Yeah. It is, I thought about this the other day. Cause I mean, you know, when you were texting the other day, when we were texting and we were like, "Hey, we should record an episode cause there's actually stuff to talk about." That was the first time I started to get sad about this lost year because remember just at the beginning of the year, I know we talked about this, but how excited we were. And I thought about like, how excited I was to go buy the new MLB The Show because not only was Tatis in it, not only was Gore Patino, they're all in the game, but also the brand new uniforms were going to be in the game. Like I was so excited to just play fake Padres baseball. That's how excited I was for real Padres baseball.
Well, yeah, and I mean this offseason,
I got really sad.
Not to interrupt, but this offseason, I think we all participated in the most like off-season activities with the team that we've ever done. I mean, I know we did bring back the Brown and the Fan Fest, and like I was very involved in anticipation for the season. In fact, leading up to it, I had spent all my birthday money on a hotel for the opening weekend and traded all my season tickets to have them all for opening weekend. And like, yeah, it was the most anticipated I'd been in maybe my life for baseball.
Well, yeah. After the Brown is back event, that was a pretty much across the board viewed as a home run by the team. Like, I thought maybe overall the organization was going to be able to have their shit together. You know, like they were going to be able to turn this around, and maybe as an organization, since this would be their eighth season, I guess they had learned how to like operate the overall package, and that's just gone. We don't get to see that play out.
Right.
And also, it's just Fernando Tatis is 21 years old, and we all know that he's ready to just become a superstar. The training wheels were going to be off, and it was just going to be this
glorious expression of baseball. We're going to go further
into this. Yeah, this love affair. It's like he's once in a generation talent who's ready, and there's no question whether or not he is ready, and we don't get to see it. And we're just, you know, these guys usually don't come along where they're ready at 21 to just be stars. And he's one of those guys, and we're just not seeing it.
Yeah. And just seeing him in the off the field too. Like he's even more than once in a generation. Like he's got his head screwed on, at least apparently, better than almost any kid his age I've ever seen. And just the whole package is ready to unleash this season. It's tragic, honestly.
Well, I mean, this is why they traded away Franmil, right? To get that kid's head in the right spot. He couldn't have the Franmil disrupting the brain, disrupting the development of the young superstar. That's hearsay. You can Google it.
Franmil's a DH, you know.
Franmil's a DH.
Now that's a thing. Wait, should we just – isn't that happening this year if it comes back?
What?
I heard part of the thing was like the NL is going to have the DH, wasn't that? Or is that just.
Yeah, wrong? I think the scenarios they've just said if they do a shortened season, like in a singular, like one or in one area, they might just do a DH. I think that's what they're planning. Well, you know, like what you guys are following, what the pod, you know, the whole league is doing. Like, do you think we're going to have baseball in 2020?
No.
It seems ridiculous to think we're going to have it, right? Like, I can't imagine this is going
to
happen.
Something would have to be decided on very, very quickly. Like in the next 2 weeks, it would have to be finalized and decided on. Otherwise, there's just no chance. You're not going to be able to start. I mean, you have to do some kind of, you know, accelerated spring training to get these guys in shape. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of injuries. Which, how are you going to do that? It's just like, there's just no way. Well, and they're so far apart. The owners and the players are just so far apart on what this means, and that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that you can tell that there were some fissures that were already there, and we've seen at the last two hot stoves how the owners have operated a little differently, and you know, and I think the players have called them out, rightly so, for you know not spending as much money, and you know those long holdouts that would send end up. You know, players weren't signing until the end of spring training. I think this was all angling towards a labor dispute, and this outbreak, or, you know, the pandemic has just, you know, accelerated it. I think they should just throw away, if they could, just throw away the CBA, throw away the season, just come back opening day 2021 and just have a clear deal in place that, so we're not doing this and then having a labor strike, you know, or labor dispute.
But doesn't that mean the owners win?
Well, they're all, both sides are losing because there's going to be no money coming in. That's the problem.
Right. But the owners, I think, could take that a little easier than like the owners to me. Like, if I'm an owner of a team, I'm looking at this season as a way to make more money. Like, I'm going to put money out there to make more. And so when I can't make that money back, I'm going to retract as much as I can. But like, I'm just not making more money. Where the players, they have to like perform to get paid. I know baseball's not totally like that. But to me, if this just goes without a year without baseball, the players are the ones who lose. Because would the owners honor any of the contracts right now? Manny wouldn't get $30 million this year if they didn't play.
Yeah, I think they would take it, you know, pretty hard. The problem with baseball is that they're so dependent on the gate. Like these other sports, like NBA, the NBA and the NFL, they make so much more money in TV than baseball does, and losing these dates, they're not going to be able to, I don't see it working. If they, even if they get together some kind of tournament or some kind of like shortened season with a playoff, not having fans is just, it doesn't work for baseball. I just never have seen a way that it could happen.
No, I agree. But like what I was getting at with the owners winning is that, don't you think the owners, once they saw this pandemic coming in, they're like, oh, this is a way for us just to like, you know, buckle down, sit tight, and then wait till the negotiations come back around to where we can basically get our way. We'll have all the leverage at that point. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we'll forget about the rich guys and the big contracts. They could even let it go a whole nother year and just blame it on the pandemic as a way to let this negotiation go long enough to where they would eventually win. Or am I seeing this differently?
I don't know. I think
the owners think Dallas. The players are expendable.
Yeah, the owners have always thought the players were expendable. I mean that's always been the problem. Major League Baseball
does nothing to promote their players. Not nothing. That's hyperbolic. Very little compared to most leagues.
But every time they've rubbed up against like replacement players, the public doesn't go for it. So they know how valuable the best players are, but I think you're right that they would like to just make it.
But if I'm an evil owner, a year and a half of no baseball, I'm going to forget about. I'm thinking the public's going to forget about who the good players are. They just want baseball back. So we hold out long enough and we starve the players out, and essentially we're going to get what we want.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case, though, because if you remember the 94 strike, they tried to bring in scabs and the public didn't go for it. People weren't coming back in droves just because they missed the game.
I went to all the games.
You went to all the games?
Well, games in our season tickets back then.
But people went, but it wasn't like sellout crowds every game or something like it would be for a normal game with normal stars. You know, the owners
have tried
this.
But it wasn't any worse than 2015 Padres, or 16-17 Padres. It was like that quality of baseball.
Sure. Sure. I mean, yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like, the owners aren't going to try to do that again. It was a failure the last time they tried to do it. It did not work in their favor. And it would only be, and with social media now, it would only prove to be less fruitful for them to try it in today's day. So I don't think that would be an option. I get what you're saying. I mean, the whole thing with owners winning or losing, the problem is the owners always win by losing every year. Like, it doesn't matter. They all claim to be in the red at the end of every year, no matter how much money they've made. And they do that because it protects their businesses and helps them get tax breaks and blah, 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 blah. So every owner does it. Every owner's broke. They can't spend any money. And then the very next year they're spending, you know, $100 billion. So it doesn't make any sense. So at the end of the day, owners are always lying, which makes people not like them, which makes people not trust them. The players know for a fact that they're lying at all times, and they have to do that to keep their businesses, you know, fruitful. But so the players don't want to put up with it. Now, the question for the fan is, like it was in 94, it's the same thing. Does any of this matter to the common fan that millionaires are arguing with billionaires? And the answer is always going to be no. Like, the common fan does not give a shit about owners and does not give a shit about players. They give a shit about going and watching the game and being a part of the game with things that they know.
Well, how is this game?
Travis, yes. Sorry, one thing I wanted to add to what you're saying about the owners is we got to also recognize that there's a spectrum for how rich some of these between some of these owners, like
100%.
Like our owners, the Padres, they're still paying off some of the debt that they're still trying to make the deal work that they put forward in 2012 to buy the team. So
right, no, totally.
They've budgeted it, you know, pretty tight. Like, yeah. So they can't lose a year. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time saying that, like, well, the owners are just going to use the pandemic to get over, but I think everybody's just going to lose money. And yeah, I think you're right. The owners will probably survive it better. I don't know if survive is the right word, because these guys make so much money, but the interesting thing about 1994 is that a lot of the conversation around it was about the owners making the players out to be these selfish people that didn't care about the sanctity of the game. I don't think that plays at all now.
No, yeah,
I don't think fans, people that are drawn to baseball, maybe some baby boomers that are holding on to, like, you know, this magic that they saw with, like, Willie Mays playing the right way, that idea is over. And I don't think the public is going to be swayed to believe that the reason why baseball is not back, or that there is a dispute, is because these guys are so selfish and they're greedy. I think fans are not going to fall for that again in the way that they did in 1994. If you remember that, I mean, don't you remember that being part of the conversation? Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Totally. These players don't care enough.
Well, that's like, what I mean. It was the evil, greedy owners versus the the greedy players who only care about themselves. That was the narrative. You know, it was the Monopoly man versus the guy who didn't, you know, versus the guy who owned Chipotle, like who didn't give a crap about you and just wanted to make money. You know what I mean?
But isn't that also the reality? That's the narrative and the reality. You have these wealthy owners that are figuring out every way to maximize returns on their investments, whatever that is. And then you have these guys that want to maximize their personal benefit.
Sure, but I think the difference,
like, Max Scherzer is not thinking about the fan ever in this. And I'm sorry, neither is any of the owners of the teams. They're not thinking about the fan in any of this.
We're saying in 94, they were able to make the argument that
argument work.
These players are making too much money and they want too much money and they don't love the game the way you do, fan, because when you played in Little League, you played it for the right reasons. These guys aren't playing it for the right reasons.
Right.
Yeah, actually,
totally. I think in today's world, we both know that they both don't care. Like, that argument won't work. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's going to be different. That's why I think it's going to be different this time, because I don't think the public is – I think the public, you know, that we just look at these – we understand more about the economics of all these sports now, and I don't see – us falling for the owners doing that this time around. And this is going to happen. They have to have, I mean, I think they should just do it now while there's a work stoppage, just try to hash it out now. Well,
they should definitely hash it out now. I think the difference, the major difference between what the players are arguing about now is the safety of it all. Like a lot of the players who are being a little bit more eloquent and expressing their points are like, the fan wants me to go, the fan and the owner want me to go put my family in danger for half of the money or whatever it is, the percentage of the money that I would usually make. Why would I, and I think the argument for most of them is, why would I put my family in danger even for the full amount of money that I would make? Like they're actually literally putting their families in danger by trying to go out and do this thing. And I don't think I think for some of them, obviously, it's an issue of greed. Obviously, some of them don't care about coronavirus or any of it. They probably don't think it's real. You know, I'm sure some of them are in that camp. But there's a large majority of them, like Sean Doolittle on Twitter. He had this great thread on Twitter about how he felt about it all, saying that, like, listen, like, this is a legitimate thing. Like, my wife is immune compromised. Like, if I bring home something to her, it could be the end of her. And why should I put my family's lives at risk like that? Because you want me to go play. And then on top of that, you want me to go play for less money than I normally make because you want baseball back, which looking at the scenario to it all, really the only people being greedy is the fans in that scenario, because we want you to go do the thing because we want to be distracted from real life, which is the point of sports in general. But we're still begging for you to go out and put your family's lives at risk and take less money to do it because we're sad.
But like, here's where I get your argument, but I don't fully agree with it, because no one's forcing Sean Doolittle to play baseball. But his union is forcing baseball to stop. If there were people out there that wanted to play baseball and Major League, they said, I'm willing to take the risk the same way people are willing. I'm willing to go work in a hospital right now. I'm willing to take this risk. But baseball has to stop because the union of players, they band together and they say, we prevent the game from moving forward unless it goes forward where we all agree on the way that it works. And therefore, baseball has stopped. So
I don't think we've gotten to a part where it's one side stopping it. I don't think that's fair to say.
Dallas's argument is the union is the one stopping it. For Sean Doolittle's wife, who has immune compromised problems.
Yeah, and that's the point of, but that's I don't see the problem with that.
Why can't Sean Doolittle not play baseball? Why does everyone get to have baseball because Sean Doolittle has a special circumstance? But
it's not as easy as that. The way you just said it is never going to be that easy. He's going to, you would say, Sean Doolittle, you have the choice.
Every individual is complex.
No, it's not individuals. It's you are just betting. You right now, you're just assuming that if the players union didn't get involved, that they could just play and Sean Doolittle would be like, you know what? I'm not going to play. And the owners would be like, totally cool, man. Totally cool. See you later. That would never happen. Never. There would stipulations. Why not?
Because the game all the time. Like, they don't have to play. Like,
it's not quitting. Why would you quit? That you're putting Sean Doolittle, and I hate to keep using Sean Doolittle, but you're putting players in a lose-lose situation because they want to be safe. That makes no freaking sense.
Okay.
Well, that's the safety part of it. I don't think it
How
ever
do you
got...
disagree?
Like, they baseball, if people want to play, they should be allowed to play. They shouldn't be stopped because Sean Doolittle is part of a union that's preventing all the other players from playing.
I guess, but you're not thinking of the other side of it. You're not thinking of
I am
side
thinking of the other side. I totally get it. But
so
like
you, but you're just saying
I'm
that,
just
okay,
telling
Sean
you why
Doolittle.
The point of view you brought about Sean Doolittle and health, I think, is not as simple as that. That's all I was trying to say. Like, I get the health issue, and some players do have that issue, and they should. But other players can't, that don't have that issue should be able to participate but aren't allowed to because they're part of a union that disallows that.
But the union's not getting hung up on the health thing right now. They can't even get past the pay scale.
Well, I would say, and to piggyback on that, that it, at first when this was all being decided, it was all about the health issues, and then it started becoming about money, and then the, you know, the collective bargaining agreement came back into play, and it just spiraled. And so now, of course, for most people, it's not even about the safety issues. It's become solely about money, solely about the future of baseball. And that is the thing that I think is unfortunate, is that this started with players voicing concerns over how this would be handled. And now they're just like, and now it's all about money and it's all about greed. And, you know, Scherzer and the rest of them are coming out, Blake Snell, they're all coming out and saying things that are kind of losing the point of why this was even a conversation to begin with, which it sucks. It just sucks. Cause now everybody's like, oh, they're just greedy. When in actuality, it all started because they're like, hey, this isn't safe. How do we make it safe? And the owners were like, I don't know. You could all shower in one bathroom. Like, the owners are coming up with these ridiculously stupid scenarios that weren't going to ever help. And so the players are like, screw this. And now we're in this whole big money pit.
Well, there's just a long tradition for both sides of trying to pin things on each other. And, you know, like, I don't think it's fair to say that the union is the reason why this isn't happening.
No,
it's
just, I'm not saying that. So
I know you're
sorry
not.
If
I
interpreted
it
that
I know you're not,
way.
But what I'm saying is, like, these, what happened is they tried to start work. They got to the early stages of this, of planning it. And we just realized that, like, they're never going to come together to be able to do anything.
Can we just, I think what would serve this, at least for me, and we don't have to like come to terms on this or whatever, but like, the problem is we're trying to pick sides here, or at least the arguments on Twitter and everything are like trying to know the owners are to blame or the players to blame. And I think like there's equal blame on both sides. This is not, we're not blaming the union 100% or the players or the owners. These are two sides that I think have lost perspective on reality. Honestly, like full blown reality, and the people that actually provide the money for them to even have this argument is not even like taken into consideration. And maybe I was one of those boomers with nostalgia, and mine basically came from growing up with my grandfather and going to games. And so for me, like paying, I don't even know what it is, like 6% of my annual salary for Padres season tickets seems kind of like absurd to me now looking back on it. But these people, these millionaire and billionaires, I think they know that they have this emotional like trigger in me and all fans across baseball that they can exploit for millions of dollars. Like, they literally play a game, and I know people have said this for years and this is not a new argument, but they play a kid's game for outrageous amounts of money because people like me are willing to spend their hard-earned dollars and watching TV and buying the ads and drinking $15 beers so that they can have this ridiculous argument that shouldn't in reality even exist. But because they can exploit people like my emotions and our connection to this game that we love so much, because it has like these incredibly deep, meaningful connections with actual people, that like Max Scherzer's tweet, I don't care what, like, if he's right or wrong, the way that it was phrased without any consideration for the people that actually like put the money into the system and make it function so that they can have these stupid arguments, like his total disregard and the whole argument, disregard for the people that are actually providing the money, whether it's watching it on TV, that the ad revenue generates or whatever, it's just to me something that I don't want to be party to anymore. Like it broke me in that way. And I called up my season ticket rep and I said, I'm out, like, don't call me again. I'm not going to renew. And I think that's like one of the biggest respects I can now pay to my grandfather, who's been past many years now, but like by not supporting this horrible exploitation of grown people's like love of memory and nostalgia, and they want to bring that in with their kids. Like, I want my kids to experience that. And the way that it's about just an extra buck is totally killed it for me. It just has. Like, I don't really care about Major League Baseball at all anymore. And I think I like will support like high school ball or college ball. Like, I love baseball still, but Major League Baseball sucks, man. I don't think I'll ever come back, ever, unless it's completely retransformed into a whole new game.
Well, I mean, do you think if they lose this season, which it looks like we're headed towards completely, do you think a loss of a season into a labor dispute, do you think the sport survives? And
I think it will. I think there's enough people that are not like me too. You know what I mean? Like, they like the betting side of it. They like the number side of it. They don't have any nostalgia. They don't care if it's a business. So there's always, you know, I think betting will save baseball, but I don't think that, like, I think there's enough people like me to not make it's not going to come back the same way. You know what I mean? Like, it's not America's pastime. It's definitely America's pastime. It's like a memory now to me. It's like I don't know how I stayed this naive for 43 years, even though I had heard all the things that are going through my head right now over and over and over again. It just, my bubble popped with that tweet. It was very strange.
You need to adopt the Nick McCann don't buy tickets until July 1st if they don't have a winning record. A Lucy.
Yeah.
You got to buy a single. Don't buy season. Why are people buying season tickets anymore? It's like,
because my grandfather's name's on them.
I know.
That's why. Like, that was the reason. And now
that makes sense.
That's not a good reason anymore. Now I just feel like I'm giving my money a bunch of selfish pricks.
Yeah.
And that's both owners and players, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, the game after 94, like, it took years for people to start coming back in droves. I mean, you know, they talk about the Maguire Sosa home run chase as the thing that actually got fans.
Yeah, steroids saved baseball the first time.
I think it was the Yankees were good.
I mean, well, the Yankees, it was a lot of things. The Yankees were good again. You know, you had Yankees were good. You had the chase. There's a lot of big market teams that were really good during that time frame. So that's always going to help. I think that this time around, like, who knows? I mean, baseball has become so market specific. You know, they've with Fox Sports San Diego, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, it's become so much about, like, the way you ingest it in your own city, that it will be interesting to see how the sport comes back from this, depending on what happens. I mean, right now there's not a strike. They haven't done anything. Like, you know, baseball wasn't going to come back anyway next week. So it's not like, but Nick's right. Like, if they don't spend this time actually trying to get something done, and they waste all of this time arguing so that there is no baseball next season, then yeah, I'm going to have a huge freaking problem, like a huge problem. Cause that's just, then that is just laziness and greed and nobody really giving a shit about anything. And I think they need to spend this time. I mean, what else are you going to do? We're fucking podcasting. Max Scherzer can't get on a freaking Zoom call with Manfred. Like, you know what I mean? Like, figure it out. Like, this is your time to figure it out.
And man, just the way that his phrasing, and maybe as the way the mood I was in, but I would like to know, and again, I'm not taking the owner side or the player side, but I would like to know, any business where you're employed by that business and you could walk in and say, show me your books, I want more of your money. Like, where does that exist other than Major League Baseball?
I mean, probably other sports. I think the other sports work the same way.
That's what I'm saying. This whole sports, whatever it is, the whole sports industry is so lost touch with, like, reality. We've so, like, made these heroes out of guys that hit balls and swing clubs that, like, they think they can just do whatever the heck they want. What planet are they from? There's no other industry where the way that they go about it exists. Like, Hollywood's not this way. Acting's not this way. Like, there's nothing else where these guys can walk in and say, my crap doesn't stink. We're doing it my way, or we're not doing it. Like, it just, let me see your books. You owners agree. Like, no other business, nothing else works this way.
I think you're right about that to a point. I think if you're an actor, like, if you're Brad Pitt, you can walk into a studio and be like, listen, I know you got $1 billion. I want $25 million or I walk. I think you have that ability.
Yeah, and then Brad Pitt walks. Or no, doesn't. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's the baseball has this weird, like, industry, we don't negotiate because we all just, like, get to do whatever. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. And I'm a big fan of the players. Like, I love Tatis. I love these guys. I think they should get all that they can. But the way that they're going about it and their mindset in doing it is different than everybody else in normal business.
Well, I think it's in the case of Max Scherzer, like, you know, he probably doesn't want to do that publicly, but he knows that, and the players know that there is going to be a public opinion war that's this other layer to it that's going to be fought on Twitter and, you know, online totally. About, like, we've never really had a major baseball labor dispute with the internet, you know?
Like, yeah, right. Yeah.
But, I mean, no, these last guys time are, it was just watching know, Oral Hershiser. You either like
Tony Clark
Oral or
was
didn't.
There. Tony Clark was around for that. Then there's guys that are, you know, they know how this is going to go, and they have to be real careful about, like, the owners are going to try to make this about them being selfish and not looking out for the greater good of the game. Even though that might be true for both sides, they're both going to try to pin it on each other.
Of
and,
course,
you know, we're going to be sitting here trying to decipher who's right and who's wrong. I don't know. I think I'm like you, Dallas. When they first started talking about, like, a scenario of doing like a Arizona thing or doing some kind of like no fans shortened season. And then we got a whiff of like the Tony Clark Manfred meetings. And it was just like, oh, we know what that is. I know what this is.
Yeah. I think that, like, listen, this one is a tough one because I never really want to side with owners on anything. But at the end of the day, if you break down baseball, professional baseball, if there's no teams, there's nowhere for you to play. So when you need the owners to play the game of baseball, like, that's just the simple thing. If you were wealthy enough, you would have bought a team, but you're not. Like, there are only a few people who are very, very good at baseball. So obviously, you know, it works out. It's a mutual benefit. But at the end of the day, like, as a player, you can't be like, the owners are trying to screw us over and do this and do this. I mean, I guess so. But also, if they weren't there, you wouldn't be there either. It's not like a different scenario where there's a bunch of dudes who are just super good at baseball sitting around with nowhere to go. You know, and then, oh my God, we found an owner. Like, it's the opposite. It's these guys created a business and then people got really good at that job and now that's their job. So, like, I'm not saying that the owners are right and the players are wrong. I'm just saying for the players to come in and be like, you know, we're the most important thing in baseball. Not really. Like, you're not really, you're maybe third. You're third on the list. Like, the owners are probably number one because we wouldn't have baseball without them. The fans would be number two because they're paying your salary. And then the players. Like, I mean, listen, how many Dave Magadans does there need to be before you realize that players aren't really the most important guy? Like, I don't know. Like, I love the players. I mean, I love Tatis. I love the Padres this year. Like, Machado is amazing. Like, all those dudes are great. And I was so excited. But at the end of the day, it's like, if the Padres just decided to fold the organization, what would we do? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
And here's another thing. And I love the players too, but Machado is not $30 million more valuable than Tatis. Like, the whole player value and way it is constructed in baseball is one of the most unfair things in all of the world. And yet we have these guys at the top, the $30 million a year guys, screaming about how Major League Baseball should open up their books because the economic strategy is not fair. Yeah, Scherzer. Yeah, Machado. It's not fair. It's not fair that you're making $30 million and the guys down in minor leagues waiting to support the league on the back burner making, what, $400 a week? Yeah, it's not fair. Like, if we all saw how Major League Baseball's books opened up, we would hate you guys even more.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of that part does really, really annoy me that players are like, the players making $30 million a year are like, yeah, this doesn't work. And it's like, wait a minute. what about Lou?
That's all bargained for. I mean, what bothers me about
which
the
is
owners,
not fair. Wait, I mean, it's on, bargained for, Nick. It's you're right. But, like, they're talking about fairness now. And, like, the way that the owner should treat the players is not fair. None of it's ever been fair. It's all bargained for so that Scherzer can justify $30 million a year. And the league minimum is what? $350,000. That's bargain for her. It's not fair.
Yeah, but the players, what the players are bargaining for, I know, but they've fought for these things, and the owners, everything that the owners want to do is they want to put restrictions on themselves. They want to like have a salary cap to make it so they can't spend more than they do, but then they end up without the salary cap, they end up spending so much money on these guys because they need these guys. So I don't know. Yeah. To me, it's like, this is their problem, but
I just wanted to point out really quickly, because we kind of jumped over it, but the players union does not represent the minor leagues.
Right.
It was collectively bargained upon by the owners and the professional players. It was not, the minor leagues are just screwed. They have sway. They can't do anything. So that's what bothers me. Yeah. It's like, if you're making $35 million a year or whatever it is, and you're like, this isn't fair. Like, how quickly you forgot what it was like to be a minor leaguer and make nothing and have nobody supporting you and nobody having your back. Like, that to me is when it starts to get weird and I start to question motives. So I do see your point on that, Trav.
Well, you know, it's going to be a mess. So we're just going to watch it.
Here's the thing. I know I sound maybe a little angry or whatever, but like, I don't remember my heart being broken this hard in a long time. Like, it's really hard. I hate it. I hate that I have all the party stuff in my thing. I hate all this crap I have now. It just sucks. I'm really sad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? Like, do you feel like the void of sports not being in your life, you know, sports being gone? How are you guys filling that hole while this is happening? Do you feel like you're
a puppy? I got a puppy.
You got a puppy.
I'm working harder than I've ever worked in my life. That's what I'm doing. I'm building a little live streaming studio and social distancing at work. Here's another thing, and this just popped in my head. But when we brought up the health thing too, like, my employer said, we need you to take a cut in salary so that the company can survive. It's up to you, or you can go on unemployment or whatever, but this is what we have to do in order to not go under. So we all agreed to do it. And then the employment said, we can now come back to the office. We are putting in these safety guidelines, but it's up to you guys to like be safe in the workspace. And I don't understand. I get the health concern thing, but why Major League Baseball needs someone to freaking, like, all these players need someone to hold their hand in practicing hygiene and keeping themselves. Like, you make $1 million a year. Spend $10,000 on hygiene, homie. Like, I don't understand why Major League Baseball has to line the world with plastic for you.
It's in the owner's interest to keep these guys safe, though. They could have games.
And of course, it's in my company's interest to keep me safe. And they're going above and beyond what I think I would do personally, but they're doing it so that everyone, and just to me, that the players would think that the owners are just going to throw them to the wolves with that. It just, I get the health concern, but it's not logical that, like, you can't be responsible for your own health and safety within baseball. Like, you can go to your own hotel. You can drive yourself to the thing. You can do all the things.
But I think there's a world of difference between you going to work and interacting with possibly 10 people in your office and then going to work and interacting with literally like 200 people to and from a game and at a game. I think there's a world of difference between that. What happened?
Uh-oh. The volume just tripped. I get what you're saying, but you don't think that baseball could minimize how many people are there? Does each player need like 40 trainers, and do you need like your agent there, and do you need Cheetos guy there? No.
I totally think that they could, but again, you're still even the people who are on your team and in the clubhouse who need to be there, you're still looking at like 50 guys. And then that's just the people you interacted with on your team and there. Then you're talking about
staff
for the stadium. Then you're talking about staff at the hotel. Yeah. There's just a lot more going on. I understand your point.
I just feel like the way that it sounds to my ears is like, made me your favorite player is like, I can't go to work because I might get sick. And like, there's nothing I can do about it. And they're not taking care of me.
That's what they're doing, though. I don't think that's what they're doing.
And I see other people, other businesses, like people working at Amazon, like other people doing work that don't have that attitude.
I'll just say, I don't think the safety thing is as big a problem as I think it's more they just saw the pay scale.
I think it was a red herring, but
they saw the pay scale that the owners were offering, and they were like, "What is that? That's not what we talked about."
I think it's like I said, it started as a concern over safety. People going, "I don't know what it is," and then it started to get into talks of money, and safety was no longer the conversation.
Now, look at what the NBA is going through right now. The NBA is basically, they're in a different situation because they got through about, you know, 80% of, or 90% of their season. They just have the playoffs, but
the season hasn't even really started yet. Woohoo.
I know, but they've basically successfully gotten the players on board with the idea that, you know, you're just going to make less money this year. And now they've gotten over the financial part for coming back, it seems like, to do this quarantine bubble tournament in Disney World. But now they're getting to like the safety stuff now about how that would actually work, about quarantining full families and like, but that's a whole different thing because, you know, an NBA roster is half the size of a baseball roster. So it's a different animal, but you know, it does speak to, you know, before this all happened, Bob Manfred, I think, has shown himself to be an idiot. That's how I feel. This is just exposing more of why he sucks as a commissioner. And
well, I think people liked him immediately because it wasn't Bud Selig. And then slowly you started to realize that, like, oh, wait, but he's Rob Manfred. Like,
this is Bud Selig's intern.
Exactly. Like, you're like, it's kind of like Adam Silver in the NBA. Like, you were like, because he handled the Clippers thing like swiftly and very, you know, immediate. And people are like, oh my God, we love Adam Silver. But then it's just slowly people are going, oh, yeah, he's still the commissioner of the sport and works with the owners. He's not the savior of basketball, you know?
Yeah, but he's basically, he's working this thing behind the scenes.
He's doing better than baseball.
I'm not saying Silver and Manfred are the same. I'm just saying it's the same thing where it's a shiny new toy. Right. And then you realize it's actually just the same toy, but it is shiny and new.
Polishing it. Well, it's crazy. The NBA I've heard that the NBA could actually, like the commissioner's office representing the owners could blow up the current CBA because of this catastrophe, you know, the pandemic happened. They could do that, but they're trying really hard not to do that option and just work it out like before they would have to do that. So I just think there's a level of savviness that he has compared to what Manfred has. I think it's pretty obvious. Or, you know, Goodell. Football is going to be a whole other thing when that starts going. So
I've never been happier to hopefully see a sport crumble to its knees.
The NFL
is fantastic. Oh, yeah. Screw the NFL, man. I hope it fails all year long.
The draft was kind of fire, though. I thought
I didn't watch 1 minute. I know people were making a big deal out of it because it was one of the few live sporting events. I couldn't tell you who anyone drafted. I did not pay attention.
Like, they're all getting drafted to not play this year. Woohoo! That's what I felt like. Like, how do we know this is even going to happen?
It's going to happen because rednecks don't care, and it's good. Like, they're going to, it's just going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess.
Who was the team in LA's running back? Was it before he went to the Broncos? This is one of the best highlights of the year, by the way. He was interviewed recently about, is it Melvin Gordon? Is that a Charger? Is he on the Broncos now? Maybe?
Melvin Gordon. Yeah, he was a Charger.
He was asked recently, what is it going to be like if you have to open the season with no fans in the seats? And he says, oh, man, I spent the last 2 years playing like that. It'll be fine.
All the people talking about how the Chargers are, they've been prepping for this for seasons now. Like, it's funny, but it's just like, I don't know how football is just the amount of money that they make.
And what did Kroenke have to ask for? Didn't he have to go get another 500 mil in cool hard cash to finish the project? Do you hear about this?
It's such a mess, dude. I don't even want to talk about it.
It's so wonderful.
I freaking hate the NFL. I'm glad that they're all sad.
Well, hey, before we get out of here, now that we're quarantined still, what's like a TV show or podcast or movie that you guys have watched during this period you want to recommend?
I think Dallas knows mine, so I'll just go first.
We'll call this Corona Dad Corner.
I gotta say, Storybox.
Hey, Bill Simmons steals everyone else's podcast ideas, so that's great. Yeah. Corona Dad Corner.
Storybots. I don't know. Ask the Storybots if you have not gotten there yet. Highly recommend
Storybots.
Storybots. It's on Netflix. Okay. Ask the Storybots.
Is it a kid's show?
Yes, but it's good for adults. It's almost like this cool mixed media type of thing, and they explain really, really complex things so that adults can understand it and my four-year-old can understand it. And I think that she might be a genius already, but because of this, she's going to other levels. So Ask the Story Bots is a wonderful program. And then for adults, I highly recommend, Dallas knows this, but Ozark has been wonderful.
Ozark.
Yes. Ozark.
I had not watched it at all, and it has the sense of like a Sopranos or these, you know, Breaking Bad, where it's this hyper real situation, but it's happening to like a really boring middle-aged white dude. And so it is very, and who's not like special really in any way. He's kind of good at math, but he's not like a chemist that can cook heroin or whatever. And he's not like a mobster that, you know what I mean? He's just very average. And so it's one of those shows where the suspension of disbelief for me being in that position was not very far, you know? And so to me, it's very cool. And now I am looking into money laundering and thinking it's probably a good new career path. I think
like Ozarks.
I mean, if you're going to be a criminal, you just got to go really big and then you get away with it. It's that low level crime that you can't do.
You got anything?
Yeah. I mean, Ozark, I watched Ozark last night for the first time in maybe like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I missed it when I wasn't watching it, but when I finished one of the episodes last night, I did go, oh yeah, this is a fine show. It's fine. I'm halfway through season two and it's fine.
Like I just like the premise. I like the premise. Yeah,
no, totally. And everybody except for Laura Linney is great.
And Jason Bateman's eyes, man. I love
that.
How
dare you? How dare you say that about my queen?
Laura Linney is a low rent Laura Dern.
She's a little hyper. If you haven't watched it, Nick, you should watch it. She's at a 10 and she could come down to an 8.
She's always at a 10. She's always at a 10. There's only one time where she was any good in anything. It was Truman Show. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll die on that bed. I don't care.
You don't like her in Mystic River?
I don't like her
you
as
are
an
king.
Actress.
Yeah, you
that's,
are king.
That's her. Yeah. She's literally like, what if you took Meryl Streep and
that's
just made her obnoxious? Yeah,
I'm
she's
deeply
terrible.
Attracted to her.
That's
that?
Too bad.
Honestly, Nick, I do see that though too. That is another reason I keep around. Like, she's not super hot, but there's this strange attraction. It's very, she's a complex woman, Dallas.
Into it.
She's literally the person that if I was working at like a Outback Steakhouse, if she walked in, I would ask somebody to wait on her table because she looks like a person who would ruin my day.
And her character.
I'm
in the
watching.
Show?
Sam and I have been watching a ton of stuff at night. I've been trying to find any motivation to write or do anything, and it's all for naught. Because like Travis, I've actually been way busier than I thought I would be right now. But Upload is really fun on Amazon.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
The first episode is so stupid. It's like tonally, I've never seen a show switch from the pilot to the second episode. So sharply, but it works way better when it does. So if you can get past the wacky, weird first episode, then it'll pay off. We watched a show too that I would recommend if you're looking for something that's kind of dark but funny. There's a show on Prime called Catastrophe, starring Rob Delaney and mm-hmm. Sharon Horgan.
Yeah, I've seen
and it. Yeah, most people like never really saw it. It's 4 seasons. Every season's like 8 episodes. You swing, it's 20 minute episodes. It's really very funny. Like he's a terrible actor because he's a comedian, but like it's a really funny show and it's quick. And I like that. And then the other show that I started watching was, my brain, not show. I've been watching the John Wick movies. I'm halfway through John Wick.
Oh, yeah. I own all of them and have not watched them.
They're so fun.
The second one's like the best one.
Third one is like, the third one was literally like, what if we just took the second one and made it more ridiculous? Yeah. Which is fine. It's not like I hate the third one, but like, it's so like everybody had said, like, these are the most ridiculous movies ever, but you're going to enjoy watching it. And that's exactly what they are. And the first two are on Hulu. I mean, if you have Hulu Live, then you'll get them, but they're edited, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the third one is on HBO right now. And it's so good. And also I'm rewatching The Sopranos. I'm on season three because I'm reading The Soprano Sessions, which is a companion book where you can. So I've been watching an episode and then reading the chapter on that episode. It's great.
Alan Sepinwall.
Yeah. It's really cool. Man, it's really fun.
I did empathize a little bit with The Sopranos. I had a bird build a nest like literally outside my bedroom window, so I can look at my bed and see this weird like protective thing over my bird. It's like Tony had over those ducks, man. It's really, really a genius vehicle for that show.
It's a great show. We're also watching Mrs. Maisel, which is fine. Billy on the Street, which is good.
Yeah, Maisel's pretty good. It's a little edgier Maisel's than fine. I anticipated.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, we're just like, we burned through so many shows like Dead to Me. We watched that in like a week and that was fun. But like, you know, we're just watching a ton of stuff.
We're watching that that Normal People show.
Oh yeah, is that any good?
It's really good. Cool. You should watch it. It's about these two Irish teenagers who start hooking up in high school, and then they kind of go through their college. Just like I haven't finished it yet, but it's really good. Yeah, I'm also listening. I'm listening to this really good podcast called Rivals, which is by Stephen Hayden, and him and this other guy, I can't remember his name. They each episode they break down a big famous rock star or music feud. So they'll do like one episode on like Billy Joel and Elton John, and then they'd go deep dive in it and like bring up like old articles and quotes and stuff and kind of take you through it. It's pretty.
There's no need to listen to it. We all know Billy Joel is superior.
Well, it's like more about their fights about touring and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, really? That fights about touring? Oh, I would love to listen to that. That would be really fun to know that those two little tiny men.
Well, it's like after their relevant music has already been made, they like started doing arena tours, you know, and
yeah,
there was like falling out and stuff, and they swipe. Yeah, I saw that. So good.
I saw a face to face tour at the Forum in 2003. And it was great. I mean, it was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
could imagine.
A standout one is that they did one on Uncle Tupelo, so it's like Jeff Tweedy and Jay Farrar. Yeah, it's really good stuff. Oh, you got to listen to that one.
You know what? You know what, Nick? I'm taking my phone out and I'm going to find it and subscribe to it.
Midwestern assholes being shitty to each other.
Like, the rivalry?
It's called Rivals.
Rivals.
Yeah.
I'm downloading it now because I've actually been pretty bored with all my podcasts.
The greatest.
Stephen Hayden's really, I mean, Stephen Hayden used to write for the Grantland and he does stuff for Up Rocks now, but he's. Whenever he does anything with pods, I always check it out. He's always great.
So it's right the music's greatest feuds.
Yeah. There's like the Michael Jackson versus Prince. There's like Mike Love versus Brian Wilson. There's a bunch of them.
Subscribe.
Love it. I'm on it.
Sweet.
I have to go potty. So
okay. Sorry. Well, hey, you know, let's check in again when baseball, you know. Falls apart more, I guess.
Here's my dilemma. Like, I'll always be a Padres fan. Like, that's always going to happen. I just can't get that part of me. I'm not going to subscribe to the season tickets anymore. Is watching the games giving them my money? That's where I'm at right now. Is listening to the radio and watching games.
I don't think they make money. I don't think they make money on TV.
Small percentage. Very small percentage. They were paid out at the beginning of that contract, and I think that's pretty much what they make. I mean, they make a percentage, sure.
I feel like I have to keep this like
you got to watch
slight
you
tentacle
tweet.
Attached to my Padres. I don't care about the rest of baseball, but like just
Travis, I get how angry you are, but I want you to understand something. Like how in '94 I promised I would never watch baseball again because I was so hurt as a teenager.
No, I know.
Until the moment when I walked into our buddy Joe's dorm room and the Yankees and Padres were playing World Series, and I immediately
melted.
Immediately was hooked and couldn't not watch a game from that point on.
Yeah.
So like I you know,
I just want to avoid giving that institution my dollars from here on out. I think that's where I'm at with it. It's like I love the game. There's so many memories, but I don't want that institution to have any money that I earn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast.
Yeah, listen, if you're I'm going to plug something. If you are on Facebook, I've been hosting weekly trivia games. They're on Zoom. We do it through Zoom, and it's for a good cause. It's for charity. We play for a different charity every week. It's basically been centered around those people who have been affected by coronavirus. So played for like Meals on Wheels and No Kid Hungry and all these other things that have helped people, Crew Nation, different things. So if you want to play, it's $5 per team. $2 goes to the charity of the week. We have a matching sponsor also. And then winners, first and second place, get money. So go to Facebook. It's called Trivia to Go! Exclamation point. Trivia colon to go! Exclamation point. If you like the page, then you just play. It's really fun. We've been doing it for like a month and a half now, and it's been rad. So if you want to give back and have a fun time doing it and drink at your house, then like the page on Facebook.
Sweet. Travis, you got anything?
I don't, actually.
Okay. Well, I stay safe out there, everybody. And, you know, check out the Voice of San Diego. They're doing a lot of great reporting on real important stuff. So check them out.
Oh yeah. We got a deal, guys. We got to have another
TKF United. Yeah.
There's a deal done.
Well, I'm so happy for those really nice, those good people that fought for it, you know? All right.
Good for you.
Let's get out. All right. See you guys.
Bye.
The Padres are
ball busters.
Well hit deep right at the fence. It is going in front.
Drive right center field, way back there. They're near, going. It's gone.
Great play off balance, throw to first. They got him. The sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball, well hit right field, look out. Maldonado at the wall, Terry Kennedy, home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead. It is a fair ball.
Going back is Reynolds.
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego podcast network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, the Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's ERIN @VOSD.org.